Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the part I'm most excited about of any of the podcasts that we have done.
Holy crap, we're still in this.
The Amazing Race likes things to be pretty.
I asked if I could go home.
I'm colorblind and I saw this flag. No. He referred to us as not a lamb, but a cake buffalo.
I'm an idiot. I just guessed.
I could see the stress oozing out of her face.
We were really, really confident going in.
That was the longest 7 minutes of my life.
It was a low point in my life. The finish line is here and we're running to it.
I love the way they did it.
Did we actually win this?
This is going to be fun.
We just won the Amazing Race and we can't say anything.
I know.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah. How you doing? Nice to see you on, for us, a Thursday morning.
It's actually Friday.
Oh, my gosh.
So anyway, welcome to the Holderness family. We never found a name for this, but it's recap, over now. So
Amazing Race special recap.
Season 33.
Podcast legs 10 and 11.
Yes. Yeah, so leg 10 in the finale. We are going to cover what happened in those final legs, including some conversations we've had with some friends, tell you some of the stuff you didn't see behind the scenes. If you noticed, speaking of behind the scenes, we are in a hotel room right now. We had the honor and privilege of watching these two legs with most of the cast of season 33.
Yeah, we had a bunch of them come here to Fort Lauderdale. Thanks to Lulu and Lala, the twins, if you remember them, they set up this terrific event for us. And then they also made it so that we could have a safe place to watch the finale with our like close family and friends. And for us, we brought our children, of course, and we'll show you kind of a little bit of an interaction that we had with them. They're home now, by the way. They're not in the closet.
No.
Back there or anything. And then also a lot of the members of the team for the company that we own who like kept our company going while we were gone for 2 months and were really as big a reason why we finished where we did on the race. So
and it was so fun meeting everybody else, brought their family too. And we got to meet everybody else's family and friends and support system. And if you hear our voices, they're a little raspy because we've had a lot of fun. And the reason why we're recording this a day late is because we really enjoyed ourselves.
We did. Well, we enjoyed ourselves. And then we did do several interviews yesterday. But then most of our voice losing was the fact that Kim and Kayla, you know, from the race.
And Lulu Lala.
But mostly them. They decided in the middle of a dinner we were having that we needed to go to a dive karaoke bar.
So good.
And it was the best decision anyone has ever made in their entire lives.
Yes.
But no one can talk today.
Nobody can talk today. But that was good times. I love these people and it was so fun. But we are all so crazy and competitive. So should we get to it?
Yeah, let's get to it. And we're going to try to do this as quickly as we can without missing too much. We've got 2 hours to cover of television and it was incredibly exciting. And you'll note there were quite a few lead changes. They did not have to create drama. You guys have seen it before. You big race fans. You've seen it. They will sometimes create drama when something is...
Make it look closer than it actually was.
Very one-sided. They did not need to create any drama this year.
It was really that close, you guys. So let's get started. We're starting Leg 10, the final four in Lisbon, Portugal. Yeah. We always talk about this pre-race mood. I don't want to get too much into this because I am feeling great right now. And sometimes when I talk about, you know, panic attacks, then it kind of triggers some stuff. But...
We should talk about this one, though, because this was we've talked about your anxiety issues over the course of the race. And this is over the course of 2 years, right? Because we had some anxiety when COVID was coming to us, right? That was, I think everyone was having that. Of those 50 or so days that we spent on this race, this was the worst day.
He's saying 50 total because we were gone for 220.
No, right. Yeah. Between the first leg and the second leg. This was the one. This was the big one.
So we had been gone for like 23 days at this point. I was... For 22 days, I was desperately missing my kids, and we were doing, and to watch it, you're like, you guys are doing great. We were doing really, really well. So it had nothing to do with our performance in this at all. I just, we're in this tiny hotel room getting ready. You know, it was, we flew in, we got our COVID test, and we were going to go race the next morning. And
it was a nice, clean, safe hotel, but it was smaller and it had a dark hallway.
Yeah, it was just really dark. And, and just, I that nothing to do with anything. I had a panic attack and it was so bad. You know, we were on, so this is going to sound like I was doing something dangerous, but I wasn't because we were on like a first floor. I was trying to crack the window and they wouldn't open all the way. Like I was trying to crawl out the window.
You had climbed onto a ledge and the
just
ledge.
Just to get air.
Right. Just to get air. And it was one of those windows that just barely bent open on the top. And I knew it was coming. You knew it was coming. The only way that we get exercise on these days off is just to exercise in our room. And so Kim has like, it was an auditory trigger. I was working out and I was breathing heavy and she was like, I can't,
you have to stop.
I can't take this breathing. So I stopped. Anxiety knows where to find you no matter where you are. It's not necessarily when the cameras are rolling during the race where you have to jump off a bridge or where they have created this like really crazy course. I think that you like for people who struggle with this, it happens in the downtimes before and sometimes even after, right?
But I'll just say this is that I just basically the producers if I could leave. I asked if I could go home. I was like, I'm done. I can't do this. Like I could not imagine running or navigating or doing anything that's required of you. And I just felt like, I'm like, this isn't fair to the other people because I'm, you know, I wasn't even thinking straight. So, you know, you are kind of confined to your hotel room because of COVID, but also safety reasons. They let me go outside. I kind of sat in an alley, which was perfect. I calmed down for like an hour. I just sat outside and I made the decision with Penn, like, no, I need to see it through with zero expectations. I was going to try, but I was going to do just one thing at a time. And you even see, it's like we're taking off in group two. So Raquel and Kayla go first. I made it. I made it. I put on my clothes. I packed my bag. I'm like, let's just freaking get this over with. I'm like, let's just get this over with. I don't even care right now. I just get me out of here, which is the worst, worst way to start something. Like it is it is not a great mental space to start a race in which there's four people and no room for error. So Raquel and Kayla take off and we were standing there with Rune and Natalia. We ripped the clue and you see me, I am running. I'm not fast, but like I'm far behind. Every single step felt like such effort. And we get in the car. I'm like, okay, did that part. Now, okay, next part. And then I opened the map and I saw the city we needed to go to, which was a bit of a drive.
It was. Didn't you feel like a little bit of relief once you ripped the clue? I even feel that way as somebody who just like deals with the anticipation in between these legs and with like knowing that this was going to be, and we talked about it, this like anxiety or no anxiety, this is the biggest day. Mm-hmm. This is the day that you get to the final three. It's the day you don't want to lose because if you get through this day, you are going to touch that mat and whatever the final location is, and you won't be eliminated. You'll finish somewhere in the top three. So, I mean, I felt some relief. It was a bit of a drive. It was into a town called Setúbal, and if I'm pronouncing it incorrectly, I apologize to the wonderful Portuguese-speaking people who live in the Lisbon area. But we got there after asking like a few directions pretty efficiently, and we did. It's so funny. There's going to be a theme developing here. We leave a place with Raquel and Kayla in the lead, and somewhere in transportation, we end up getting to the next place ahead of them.
So I spotted Setebol on the map. And so you hear him say, like, should we just go for it? So I'm like, let's just get to the town, and then we'll ask for directions. And so we stopped kind of at a gas station real quick. You know, they pointed. So we got there first. We didn't know they were first because it wasn't a traditional clue box. So we go up this gorgeous tower, and it said this was our first vision test of the day. We had to find that first clue.
Yeah, this one was it's so funny. Yeah, we're going to talk more about vision tests in a second. But we're going to tell you for real if something is easy or something is hard in this podcast. Yeah. We've done that before. This was a big flag. I'm colorblind that I saw this flag. It took 15 to 20 seconds.
He found it really quick. Again, he's colorblind. I think you hear Natalia say in the show, from standing up there, it's easy to find. On the ground, that was a little tricky.
Right. So the challenge was actually not finding the flag up there. It was, they didn't give you any directions. You just see the flag and you've got to find a way to get there. Kim had great advice. She said, follow the coastline and you'll get there.
Well, follow the coastline. But if you go to the yellow buildings, I was like, it's on this side of the white buildings, go to the yellow buildings. So for us, we found it very easily, but you see how it's pretty tricky. And it was all one way road. So yeah. Ryan and Dusty passed it, so they couldn't really do it. They had to go several blocks to make a U-turn. So that was an issue.
Ryan and Dusty actually made up a ton of ground. But in doing so, like the colorful language of Dusty rears its head once again. And so, like, what were some of the things he said? He called all of us lambs.
Yes.
He's like, we're lions and we're going to pick off these lambs. And he referred to us as not a lamb, but a cake buffalo.
So they caught up to Raquel and Kayla and now to the cake buffalo. And so I was like, what's a cake buffalo?
So maybe
it's like a big. And so we Googled it and it was just shaped like buffaloes, like in birthday cakes.
I don't think that's.
Are we saying it wrong?
No, I looked up K-A-Y-K. I looked at K buffalo. I looked a keg buffalo. I didn't know what he was saying. I think Dusty was just imagining like a birthday cake and a prize. And then he mixed it in his brain with something that he would want to shoot and eat in the Serengeti, which is a buffalo. So that would like maybe cake is like a prize.
We should have asked him. So I have to say,
No, I did ask him. He's on the plane. I'm like waiting for him to text me back. If he does text me back, we'll let you know what a cake buffalo is.
I have to say, in watching The Amazing Race with a huge group of people, I was actually very worried because we never had watch parties or anything. We're just kind of watching it by ourselves the whole time. I don't like it when, so I was nervous about watching with a group.
It was so much fun.
It was so much fun because it was like a sporting event, because anytime anybody did anything well or was like crap talking the other, it was like at a sporting event. And Dusty,
he's right in front of us.
He was right. And my son was so obsessed with him. So every time Dusty stood up and was like,
Dusty was like a professional wrestler on Wednesday night.
Dusty kept the energy up. Okay.
We should share some pictures that we have of Dusty here.
Put
up a couple of those.
Okay. So there were a lot of winding roads, but we got ahead of Raquel and Kayla and they had still had to park and they still had to climb their way to the top. So we had probably a 7 or 8 minute lead there. And then we get to the first clue and it's a roadblock. We were told there'd be two roadblocks today. We had a little bit of a lead. I explained my mood. I felt like I should do it first. I should do the first roadblock to get that out of the way. For me, the roadblocks are very nerve-wracking.
It ended up being a good decision.
And let me tell you, when you guys, if you've been listening to this, you know how I've studied the race. Even before being cast on the show, we've watched every season. You know, when we were signed up, I mean, we have Google Docs. On my couch, what I would have done is rip open the clue. See, I had to, you know, identify I think there was probably 12 boats, 8 to 12 boats. Mm-hmm. And then 4 were Portuguese explorers and 4 were just
one of them was Cristiano Ronaldo.
Just people from Portugal. And so, right. But they were all names that you would have recognized.
They were also the Portuguese spelling of the names, not the American.
That's important. Okay. So they were the Portuguese spelling, which is very different. So we were in this kind of marina area and, you know, there's cameras around. It's an Amazing Race. It draws attention. So there were probably 7 or 8 people just like milling around, like, what are you crazy Americans doing? As a sane, just clear-thinking individual, I would have gotten the clue, run over, because he can't help me in a roadblock. I have to do it myself. I would have run over to one of the, like, the fishermen standing there and asked, point to the one that's a Portuguese explorer, because you can do that, and got in the boat. Race brain, anxiety brain. Yeah. And my anxiety brain, which is like, let's just freaking do this. So I run down the dock, and you hear me going, like, I'm doing this wrong. Like, I even knew, I was saying it out loud, like, this is not the best way to do it. But anxiety brain was like, I don't even care. So I jumped in, and I took it. It was just really in a great, amazing race strategy. You just jump in the prettiest one. Not a good strategy. Right.
Well, hang on. So I know you said you don't think it was a good strategy. And when we left, you were kind of like dogging on yourself. Right? I just guessed for like the prettiest boat. I didn't know what I was doing. I do think that the Amazing Race likes things to be pretty. And so maybe, like, I thought maybe just there was the three prettiest boats were the ones that you had to pick, or the four prettiest boats. As it turned out, that was not the case.
It's not a good strategy.
It's not a good strategy. You see Ryan rowing a boat that was the same paint scheme as yours.
And it was wrong.
It was the wrong one. So, but until I saw that, I thought my wife was a genius. And she had figured out, oh.
Your wife's an idiot.
Can I be honest? Like, we think like producers a lot in this show. Sometimes
hurts us.
It hurt us during that mail. It hurt us during the rock challenge. It hurt us during the mail thing. But we think, like, if we see cameras somewhere, that's where we think it's going
to
be.
Cameras.
If there's someone who looks like an actor, that's probably who the person's going to be. Just because we'd watch shows and seen how that happens. We study the race. We produce. We know what it takes to put on a show. But they find ways to mess with you. I really
bad strategy.
Yeah, I hope we get a chance at some point to talk to the producers on The Amazing Race and find out how many different ways they can bleep with us during a day, because they're quite good at it and it does make for entertainment. Anyway,
it was one of those things where I got in the boat and I knew I backed out, right? I'm like, oh, I know I'm facing the wrong way. They didn't show me. I actually rowed very quickly. And even Arun told me later, he's like, I knew we were screwed. I saw how fast you were rowing. I actually did row the boat very quickly.
I mean, compared to Arun.
Oh,
Arun.
I love that guy.
I love him. He has definitely never rowed a boat before.
Well, and
it's okay. We'll talk about that in a second.
So I've never rowed a rowboat like that. Yeah. I've done a canoe and a kayak, but I've never done a rowboat like that. So you hear me saying, I'm like, I'm doing this wrong.
Yeah.
And then the guys on the shore were laughing. And I'm like, crap.
I think they were laughing because you were hazing yourself.
I was like, I suck at this.
You know what's funny? You were, okay, so you get there. You have no idea if you're going to get it right.
I was like, hey, sir.
They give you the clue. At that time, I had been standing there watching you for 18 seconds. Let me tell you why.
You went to the bathroom.
You said you're going to do the roadblock, and there was like there was a bathroom. There's never just a bathroom anywhere. And I'm like, this is going to take at least 90 seconds, right? So I go in the bathroom. I take the time to wash my hands. I walk. I don't run. I'm back 5 minutes later, and Kim is rowing up to the freaking dock. Yes. She did this so fast.
It was definitely less than 5 minutes, but
I barely got to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, because and the distance you had to row, it wasn't nothing, but it wasn't super far.
Yeah.
And it was the pier number 10. And I was like, excuse me, sir, as if I could like flirt my way through it. He gives the clue. And I said, I'm like, we just used all of our Amazing Race luck for the day. Like we've used it all. That
Which
is it.
You're about to find out is true. So, yeah.
And so we get the clue. So here's the deal. That was Magellan. It was the Portuguese. How Magellan is spelled his name in Portuguese.
Right.
And so I didn't know that. I mean, I paid attention in school, but we learned about Magellan.
You didn't know that was Magellan.
I will say, as much as I was like, I'm an idiot, I just guessed. This is 100% honest. Because I'd been navigating there and I was looking at the little street, I had seen that name on a street. So I had seen Ferdinand Magellan, but like I had seen that spelling of a name on a street. So that is why I got into the boat. I saw it. I'm like, oh, that's a name I just saw. So it wasn't like I completely guessed, but here's the thing. I'm like, I didn't recognize most of the names. I didn't look in one other boat. I did not. Because you see Raquel going to, she was like looking
up. There's Ronaldo. It's hard to look. You had to walk all the way to the back of the boat and look around. Yeah.
So I got in, looked at the name. I'm like, I recognize that name. Peace. Anyway, we got super lucky.
And we will be right back.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Let's skip ahead to the next route info, right?
Yeah, so
which was a team challenge. Route info was when you do something together and there's a challenge where you're both working on it.
We were painting under pressure.
Yeah, so, sardine cans onto a door.
Yeah, so we had to find this cute little market area that was adorable. Mm-hmm. We picked up a can, and we were like, what is the easiest one? And again, race brain plus anxiety brain, we picked what probably the most intricate one.
There were four or five of them. And they were all pretty equal until, we were looking at the race the other night. And the one that Kayla and Raquel picked, they picked the right one.
Oh, 100%.
It was just a few colors.
And there were straight lines.
And they're like, all of our lines were squiggly. And the biggest reason we picked the wrong one, if you look at the show, it said Our Lady of the Sea on the can. It was written in cursive. We can write in cursive, no problem. There was intricate black shadowing behind the words. Now, when we got to the door, it was basically a paint by numbers, you know, like fill in the blanks. You could see they had an outline of pink. That means that's where you're supposed to paint mm-hmm. pink. They had an outline of white. That's where you're supposed to paint white. The actual ocean, the sea, the blue, the background was already painted. So we didn't have to paint the background. But because the intricate shadowing was so small, it wasn't really a full shape. It was just a line, and we didn't know that we had to paint over it because right. it was so small. And that included particularly the parts inside the letters. They weren't circled or marked for us in any way.
Yeah, so it was paint by numbers until yeah. it wasn't.
Right.
And so that's when we needed to look at the can. And I will say, watching it, I'm like, oh, that's so obvious. But when you're yeah. in it and you're this close from it and your hands are shaking, it seemed really daunting. So we got there. I'm trying to remember the times, Besk, and I do write these things down. I didn't bring my full notebook here. Mm-hmm. I think we probably got there 10 minutes, 15 before Raquel and Kayla.
I think it was closer to 10. I think like
yeah, they got yeah. there not long after yeah. us. You know, and they're so good. And they were so smart to take a beat and look at it. I thought we had done the same thing, quite honestly, but we're idiots.
we're not idiots. We picked a tough one. We got like this was one of those, you know, challenges where Kim and I just gutted it out.
I will say the doorknob on ours had a line through it. So
right.
we knew to put purple on the doorknob. Yep. And you see Ryan and Dusty. If we had picked that can,
we may have been I don't know that
we would have known to paint a freaking doorknob.
Maybe. Like, I think we would have asked about it after a while.
They're not going to tell you.
Their doorknob was in the middle of their door.
So the doorknob was in the middle of the door, and it just had that black over that whole section.
Yeah.
Ours had a very clear line down our doorknob, so we knew to paint part of it.
And that made it easier for us. I think after one or two tries, like you and I, we got to a point where we were really trying to figure stuff out. And they didn't show a lot of it. We did a lot of like detail fill-ins when it turned out that's not what we needed. We just needed to fill in the black stuff in the middle of the letters.
I stand by the fact that I would not have painted somebody's doorknob because that was a beautiful alleyway with this beautiful music.
I would have painted the doorknob.
I would not have. That's a gorgeous door. I would not have ruined the doorknob.
We'd already ruined the door.
That's true. But they could. Yeah, that's true. Anyway.
They probably got that doorknob at whatever the Portuguese version of Home Depot is. It's.
They're not going to let crazy.
They're not going to let us mess with a valuable door. Yeah.
That's true. So finally, after many tries, so Raquel and Kayla get theirs. They leave. I think probably 10 minutes later, we got ours.
Yep.
We got our clue. And we were. This day was all about just make. We, of course, wanted to win.
Yeah.
Of course, wanted to win, but it was all about finding the time.
Don't lose.
Don't lose.
75% chance. You guys have heard me talk about math this entire time if you've been listening. Every day, I wake up and I think, what are the statistical chances that an average performance will advance us to the next round? In the first leg, it's 91%. In the second leg, it's 90%. In the third leg, it's 89%. It's always incredibly high numbers. And if you just perform average, you have a great chance of making it through. So this leg, it's 75%. Getting a little tighter, but still, that's a 3 out of 4 chance that if you perform average and don't screw up, you're going to make it to the next round.
So we were aiming. This is the day that I was like, let's aim for average. But because we were really good at the navigation part. So Raquel and Kayla lose their map. And I think there's some stuff online like, why didn't you go back for it? I talked to her. She's like, the definition of lost is they didn't know where they left it. So they didn't know if they left it at the pier. They didn't know if they left it at the door. They didn't. And it's, again, it's a little bit of a run. So I think they did the wise thing is they stopped to buy one. I think they had to stop two places before they found one.
And by the way, you could not have gotten there without a map.
No. So it was a bit of a drive. And again, yeah. I think we should have Google searched this, but our brains are fuzzy. It was a decent drive, maybe an hour.
Everything felt like at least an hour. Anytime we went from one place to the next. Okay. And the Amazing Race made that decision to do this on this particular season to find more remote places, which, by the way, such a win for us. Like such beautiful remote spots.
Well, so again, this is another one of those times where I took a beat. We weren't great at taking a beat off and found it was the name of the city and the lighthouse. It was a whole map. It was a map of the entire side of Portugal. So yeah. It was not a detailed map, but on the teeny tiny, you see Sisiembre. I was like, well, let's just try that. And our strategy was like, let's, especially on a long drive, let's get to the city and then ask the direction.
We didn't even have to do
that. We didn't even have to ask for directions because it's a tourist area.
It's a landmark.
So we got there without any struggle. And then I just assumed Raquel and Kayla would be there, but we count the clues in the clue box. I'm like, dude, we're first.
If you're keeping track at home, Raquel and Kayla start in the lead. We pass Raquel and Kayla on the way to the first clue box. And stayed at the lead after the first roadblock. Raquel and Kayla pass us at the first challenge. We pass Raquel and Kayla en route. We kept passing Raquel and Kayla en route, and they kept passing us during the challenges.
You know.
So here we are with the lead, and I'm like, okay, let's just buck this trend. I don't want Raquel and Kayla to pass us again in the challenge. We find out what the challenge is, and we're screwed.
It's a... The final roadblock is a vision test.
Well, it thank you for saying that. It was, you had to count these columns at a monastery.
Yeah. So we, just for people maybe who haven't seen it. So this beautiful church cathedral, and it's just this endless on both sides, these gorgeous arches.
Mm-hmm.
And it, again, on TV, you're like, oh, that's fine. They're in real life. It's shadowy on one side. It's light on the other. That shadowy side, everybody, except for Kayla, struggled with this because it was really hard to see.
By the way, cameras have zoom lenses.
Eyes do not.
So if you watch this from your couch and you're like, oh, I can see the end of that. Cameras have zoom lenses. I was getting so mad looking at it because it shows me going like, and like laying down on my stomach.
And he was like in the sniper position.
Well, I was trying to find a way to keep my head still. I must have counted it 20 times and never came up with the same answer because the last 20 columns on each side was straight up guessing. Also, they were different lengths, the two sides of the monastery.
Yeah, so one side was slightly longer because I was like, why are you guessing odd numbers?
And that's why.
That's why because the right side I think was a little longer. But then, so I will say that this is one of the many times where we felt our age because I was, you see me, cause I'm always taking notes and I was actually sitting there drawing pictures of, I'll find the picture. But I was like, we have collectively as a family, the worst vision. I have worse vision than he does. One of my great fears was that we were going to have to do that Clue looking thing. I think it was at the season. What finale was it where they had to jump out of, they had to spot a Clue from the helicopter and jump.
They've had several of those.
My fear was we'd have to do a night leg. We'd already done a night leg in London, but one where we'd have to see far away at night. I have astigmatism so bad, I can't see anything. If we would still be in Portugal if I had to do this challenge. So you hear Penn say, I'm just going to turn this into a running challenge. It was a quarter mile there to guess and a quarter mile back. So it's a half mile every time you have to guess. And he guessed eight times.
And each time I went up from, I went what I thought was the best guess, which for me was 110. I went up, down, up, down, up, down. And so I got to 106 on the eighth try. And so that's 4 miles because it was 400 yards to get to the Munch and back.
And this was my picture that I'm the worst artist.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, we're going to talk more about this in a bit.
Yeah, but I was sitting there drawing a picture, and then I would put the name on the back of it. And then I would put, and then, you know, 106, in the name of it, where it was, leg, what position we were on the back.
We will get back to that. I will say,
pictures.
Yeah, we're going to get to those pictures because they come into play big time at the end of this. But we do want to try to get into the finale as quickly as possible. Kayla passed us after getting it on the first try.
She has young eyes and glasses. Bless her heart.
I got it on the next try after her. So we were not far behind.
We weren't.
Then Kayla and Raquel ran the wrong way to the lighthouse. They went down the wrong path. So when Kim and I were leaving, we saw them and we had a shot at catching them if we were fast.
If we were Ryan and Dusty, maybe you could have caught them on your own.
But we didn't care at this point. We just want to get to the final three.
We were trying. Yeah. I was running as fast as I could. And so I am a 45-year-old woman. I run about a 9-minute mile.
That was a long run too.
And it was, I would say, 3/4 of a mile.
Yeah, it was
probably
down. It was downhill, uphill on a dusty, uneven road. There were rocks.
And it wasn't really clear how to get there, but we did take the most direct path. And I would say
that was almost another lead change. I'm like keeping track of all the lead changes. There were so many lead changes.
Yeah. So we were right there. But I was so happy to see them win the leg. I mean, honestly, I don't think enough women win this race. So I had said many times, if we don't win, I wanted a female team to win. I love Raquel and Kayla. Of course, we want to win. My competitive spirit, I want to win. But I was so happy for them. But we were right there. But Penn's like, we can catch him. We can cut him off. I was running as fast as I could. But I was like, dude, they're freaking fast. I'm not going to do this. So we get second. We're in the top three. And at that point, there was that sigh of relief.
We were relieved. It was another beautiful stop. Another great place to kind of enjoy a zero humidity, 70 degree sunny day near the, wasn't there another, there was another body of water. They kept putting us by these beautiful cliffs
so
and bodies of water. And so, you know, there's always that, there's a relief, we're going to see the finish line. We're going to see the finish line. And then B, just taking a moment once you get to the finish line to take in the scenery. And I could see on my wife, I could see the stress oozing out of her face I'm telling you, I could see it. And I know,
oozing.
And you oozed.
Well,
relief. You've been through a lot.
That was for me, that was the hardest day on the race emotionally.
Uh-huh.
And
that was the hardest day, harder than the rocks
harder than
the, that's, I think that's a surprising take coming.
Yeah. So I think it was harder than just because everything we had to do, it was fine. I think it was appropriately hard. It was fine. I think anything on this race, when you're sleep deprived and you're panicking, anything seems hard. Tying your shoes seems hard.
Did you have a moment where you were thinking about what would have happened if you had that roadblock?
I try not to do that dance too many times because I think, you know, in the very beginning, there was a moment when we were out of balance on the roadblocks because I'd started my period and he had to do two in a row. But when you look back at the season, it ended up that we were fine. It ended up that every roadblock we had done, we were the right person for it. So
that was definitely the case on this day. I would say for the rowing as well, I could see myself just
because I'm not
messing that up.
Because it would have taken me to make every guess to count and then do a half mile run. It would have taken me 5 to 6 minutes for every guess, and it probably would have taken me 10 times. To do that, I think we had enough of a lead because poor Ryan and Dusty with that flipping doorknob. Maybe we could have still been fine, but I too would have taken it as a guessing game, and mm-hmm. I just would have.
And you're a good runner. I mean, you would have kept it.
I can go a distance. Like, yeah. I can keep going. Anyway, so it's time to fly back to Los Angeles.
You fly back to Los Angeles. You hear Phil as a flight attendant going for some dad jokes, which I can always give respect to. Know your audience.
And
dad
you know
jokes.
What? I have to say, the season was very special, and we grew so close because of the way we had to travel. I think and the first people we met in the airport were Kel and Kayla, and mm-hmm. Sam and Connie were there too. But even that on that flight, we were sitting on different parts of the plane.
Yeah.
Here we were next to each other. On every flight. And also Phil was on our plane.
Yeah.
And the entire crew was on our plane. So
we got a chance to get to know like the producers, the photographers, the people who actually strategize and invent the games. And also, I mean, we were flying back with Dusty, Ryan, Kayla, and Raquel, which were the same people that we got onto a trolley car with on the way to the top of that mountain in Switzerland at the beginning of the restart of the mm-hmm. race. And we sat like there and talked to each other like, wouldn't that be cool if this was the final three?
Yeah, we made it into that bus to take up, you know.
The first scene of the restart.
And we're like, wouldn't it be cool if we were all the top three?
And here we are.
And here we are. So, and I have to say, in watching previous seasons, I know there's been a lot more animosity between teams. And I think part of that is created with yields and U-turns and things like that. So I understand how that happens. But I could not imagine going through that with people I didn't love and respect.
That was one of our biggest fears when we went on the race. We like didn't want to get sucked into that kind of stuff. So but once you get to the final three, you know that that's not going to happen because the final three, everyone wants to knock everybody else out and everyone wants everyone else to fail. Like that's where it becomes a true race. There's never a U-turn in the final three, right?
Right.
There's no alliances in the final three.
Yeah. And anyway, so I have to say I felt calm and the pre-race mood for the final leg. Mm-hmm. I felt very calm, and Lulu and Lala later in the day told me because they were up in the hotel watching us do our pre-interviews kind of like out in this area and before we were taken to where we're starting. And Lulu and Lala said, she's like, you guys just seemed so calm. Like they were 11 stories up and they looked down like, we should seem so calm. I'm like, you know, I felt really calm. And that was the first time I had felt calmness the entire time.
Wow.
And
I felt calm-ish. The biggest issue was we were still on European time. So the day of the finale, we woke up at about 4:30 a.m. Remember that, hon?
Mm-hmm.
And the race didn't start till noon. We took off from the hotel, you know, not at 4 a.m., relatively early in the morning to kind of set up and get ready to go. But we had been awake for 8 hours by the time the race started that day. And I do believe that even though you were calm and you felt calm and I felt calm, that when they said go on that final leg
brain.
With that final clue, that if no one took the time to think about the clue. We read the clue, but none of us thought about that clue.
I could have just been reading, you know, the alphabet at that point because read it out loud for you hear me reading it out loud or you're reading it out
you
loud.
You hear me say slow down. And then
I was like, because everybody started running. And that is where, honestly, when we had these notes and these sort of rules for ourselves, it was like, slow down, read the clue. Don't do this. Slow down, read the clue. They'd given instructions, so here's the final clue. You rip open the envelope, you read that there are three locked clue boxes on the towers of the Westin in downtown LA. So our job was to find a clue box and then spot the combination
going up and down. And so that going up and down could have meant a ton of things, and everyone thought it meant going up and down the stairs.
So we were, right? Yeah. So we ripped. So you see me going up and down. So as we're running, so we had to make it to the 32nd floor. So we had to go down and then
over
across and then to get to the 32nd floor. So it was a little bit of a maze. And I think they show us running and we all tried to go in different directions because there's only one per tower. So the first one, and Ryan and Dusty are so fast. And so the first one we found, Ryan and Dusty were already there. And I was like, oh, they already got it. So we turn around, have to go down, go all the way across the building.
We thought Ryan and Dusty were done.
We thought they were done.
We thought they had the clue.
And so because we walked out and I saw them looking out, but I was like, and so again, race brain, I should have.
Both of us should have. So here's a couple other things to mention about this. These are not decorative areas, right? There's writing and weird scribbles on the walls. It's like a service entrance to the hotel. It's not meant to be walked on by hotel guests. So there were all these little things we were trying to read into on the wall. Here's the other thing. When we started running back around, Dusty and Ryan, they were gone. We're like, oh,
yeah, they're
out of here. If you look in the YouTube clips, they were so confused. They got to the clue box. They didn't see the clue going up and down. They were trying to enter, some sort of code from the race. Like, what's a four number thing that happened from the race? They got in the elevator and they went down to the lobby.
Well, we all had these race blinders
on. Of course, yeah.
I will say that. So finally, the first time I was like, let's just find a clue box. So we find a clue box and that you see, and after we were there for about 20 seconds when I was like, up and down elevator. So we spotted it. So I thought we got it first, but Raquel and Kayla on the show actually got it. We're probably the same time.
We both thought they got it first, but we didn't realize that we got it first until we got to the car.
So that's why we thought we got out first.
And there were three cars and we had the first car. So we did get to the car first.
We got to the car first. Yeah. So
Another
lead change. So we got directions before we left the hotel where they got a little tripped up because I think they got outside first. They went outside to ask for directions. And this is downtown LA. At the time, there weren't a lot of people walking around for whatever reason. They said, so we actually got to the car first. So we thought we had a more significant lead. And then we are pulling up to, and it was another route info to the square, which I should remember the name of, to see her. And we pulled up, we saw the clues, we saw everything there, but then we had to find legal parking, which was down. We found a parking lot, which was down a little bit.
Yeah, and we could have illegally parked anywhere.
Anywhere, but I was like, let's not get a penalty on the final leg of the Amazing Race.
Can't do it.
So Raquel and Kayla, we are making our way there, and then we spot them. We're like, oh crap, here they are. So we open our clue, and here's the challenge. One person had to put on this weird, like, Mexican wrestling mask on, so completely blindfolded. You couldn't see anything. They had to do like a test to make sure he couldn't see anything. And then grab a little smashy stick. And there's all these rows of pinatas. They gave us three specific pinatas that was listed on a chalkboard that we had to find to smash open. The person had to grab the clue, and those three clues gave the address of our next location.
Very quickly, the person who had the wrestling mask on could not see anything that was going on over there, did not know anything about the pictures. I would say we were 20 or 30 feet away from each other. I'm already not the best of hearing. And then you put that wrestling mask on and it was harder to hear. So Kim, who doesn't love to shout, she's the kind of person who she'll want me to do something. And she'd be like, hey, honey, can you go get the thing over there?
I'm not very loud. Sure, yeah, I'm not really loud.
Kim had to raise her voice a bit. She did a great job of that. But then there was this mariachi band, very talented, that was messing with us.
And so they would walk in between us. So the mariachi band was it's a mariachi band. They're very loud. Great. Beautiful music. But they would walk in between us. They would walk around us. So I'm screaming like, take a 45. So they do it to distract you, right? So you have race brain. So initially,
I'm thinking of all the things you had to worry about. I had to do was smash.
Well, so it was find an all paper star, a tiny donkey, and a taco. So the taco was pretty easy to find.
It was huge.
It was huge. So we got that. The all paper star, they're all freaking paper. And I asked the production afterwards, they're like, well, one was shiny paper. And because online they're like, oh, it's clear that those are plastic. Those little shiny things are like birthday hats. They was like, that's paper. So I was like, they're all freaking paper. So eventually we get the paper star. We did stir. I'm out of order a little bit. So it said
you started looking for the donkey.
Started looking for the donkey because there were about three brown mule donkey pinatas that were smaller. They were smaller than the other traditional pinata donkeys. So they were smaller. So it was like, oh, that's the tiny donkey because it's a donkey and it was smaller than the other one. smashy, smashy. We smash all of those. So I'm like, well, maybe it's in one of the tiny donkeys. So we smash all three of the brown, smaller donkeys. And I was like, well, crap, that's not it. And then I spot the star finally, or the taco finally spot the star, the freaking tiny donkey. And you couldn't, you hear me say, like, they're all freaking tiny donkeys, because they were all, at that point, we smashed all the smaller donkeys, because there were about four different sized donkeys. And I smashed all the smaller ones, and I'm like, oh, they're all bleeping tiny donkeys. That tiny donkey, we were never going to find unless, so Penn's strategy was like, you hear him saying, I'm just going to smash everything.
Well, that was when you were, I think you had just decided, like, wasn't that the point where you were just trying to move around? And
I was, so, yeah. Oh, and here was another rule. I couldn't leave this one specific area on the, there was kind of this gazebo area, and I couldn't leave this area of the gazebo. So you, I was on my stomach. I walked to the edge of where I could go, and I'm looking. I had, before he started smashing stuff, I was like, let me find, you know, let me find first. So at this point, it's the third one. Raquel and Kayla had left.
They made it look closer than I think it was. I think that
it's 10 minutes.
I think I got one clue and they had three. I'm going to say it was more than 10 minutes.
You're probably right. I think it was probably 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So they left. And I think at that point, and I'm surprised they didn't put it in the show, I'm like, sorry, babe, second place in the Amazing Race is still really freaking good. I'm like, second place is really good. And I was already like, okay, I wasn't giving up.
Yeah.
I wasn't giving up, but I was like,
I just wanted to smash.
I was like, well, this is how we go down. And here we go. And so I was trying to stay calm. And so at that point, he goes, can I just start smashing him? I was like, you know what? I'm still looking. He's smashing. He smashes enough that it exposes. and you see the tiny donkeys in between these huge ones.
It was really, yeah.
He had taken out an entire, so there was an entire string, but without that entire string of pinatas gone, right. I was never going to find the tiny donkey.
I think that you even talked to someone afterwards, or a producer, or someone who said, oh yeah, you drew a tough lot on that particular one, because there were two very wide pinatas in between this small pinata. And if you were standing, you know, off to the side of it, you could
easy
see it.
Spot.
But if it was a straight line from your face, it was really like a blind spot.
So Raquel and Kayla figured it out very quickly.
They did four pinatas. I think
they knocked down four, and we knocked down probably 24. But without him knocking them all down, I was never going to see that tiny one. So our strategy of just knocking the crap out of them actually worked. Yeah. It was a lot of work.
And I want to give you some credit really quickly. I know that you were like, so Kim...
I was beating myself up the whole time.
Kim gets frustrated, and so do I, when you don't, like, when you get passed by someone. And they did it again. They passed us on another one. Raquel and Kayla keep passing us. I don't like this theme. It's the third time in the finale episode that they've passed us on a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So this is three. And we hate it when it happens once. But so Kim had so much to deal with. She had cryptic clues, which I didn't have. All I had to do was smash. And she had to instruct her blind, drunken, insane, Hulk smash, rage-filled husband to all of these different places. And I thought you were very good, Kim, at instructing me where to go just to get started. I thought you were, like, that part of it we were really, really good at. And you kept your cool once we figured it out, and you gave very clear instructions. You raised your voice,
so
which was great.
Let's move on. We get the clues. It was the address to this, you know, sound design studio in Hollywood. We stopped, got good directions. We didn't get lost. And I have to say, though, part of my note-taking process is I always took notes on how long it took us at challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And I would compare them with other people, because I wanted to know, did the start times really matter? Did starting 15 minutes ahead, you know, I think some of the people who started behind us were like, well, it's impossible to catch up if we start 15 minutes behind. But I'd be like, well, we actually did that challenge faster, or you did it fast. Like, mm-hmm. So I was doing mental accounting. We actually did pretty well at challenges, but the last 2 days, we were struggling. So
we ran into things that didn't line up to either our skills or our fortune. So here's what I think. I think that pinata was our bad cab. And those of you who watch the race know what that means. There's always a bad cab that'll knock somebody out of a really important leg in the race. Like they just get in a taxi and the taxi guy either runs out of gas or he gets a flat tire or he doesn't know where he's going. And so there were no cabs in this race. Our bad cab was a pinata that was lined up in an almost impossible situation to see.
And I could have done it wrong. That's my bad. I'll take that. I screwed up. So we get there and I have to say my mood was, hey, I want to fight for this. I hope there's a big, huge memory task at the end. I was counting on a big memory task. Yeah. So I was like, let's just get through this as soon as possible. But let's enjoy ourselves. If this is our last day ever on The Amazing Race, let's enjoy ourselves.
This was a great challenge for us for several reasons.
It was a Foley challenge.
Yeah, it was a Foley challenge. For one of the reasons it was a great challenge is you're looking at all of these past scenes, iconic scenes from The Amazing Race, and you're on a sound stage and you're creating the sound effects with like a soggy sponge or a bunch of hay or, you know, a two inflatable balloons that you smash together. And we knew all of these scenes. We'd seen them so many times. There was the Oktoberfest one with the beers and the pies. There was the ox that got broken, which was like a super famous scene. There was the inflatable wrestling,
Running
of the Bulls challenge. And then, of course, there was the watermelon shot, which I've watched for my own obsessive reasons 100 times because I always wanted to ask like someone at The Amazing Race if they ever entertained the thought of what would happen if that watermelon didn't break.
Oh, I know. Well, that's okay.
But it did break, and thank goodness, because it just led to like a little bit of a bruise and a broken nose. But we knew the timing of all these things.
We knew the timing of all these things just because we were, you know, obsessed about this. We had never done Foley before. I think you hear Penn saying like he does editing. He has a very musical background, so he actually really excelled at this.
I do a lot of lip syncing.
He does a lot of lip syncing. But I'm fascinated by it as a production. I would say because I was aware of it, of course that was helpful. But it doesn't, once you're in it and you're in race brain, I don't know if that was necessarily an advantage for us, but we asked him to do one and I was like, let's just try it just to see what we don't know. He started talking, which is so funny. You can't talk. And then,
what do you mean you don't want to hear in the movie, hey, honey, I'm coming over here, like in the middle?
So, you know, we both missed a sound. Like you have to crinkle the gloves, which, you know, I didn't see everybody do the glove crinkle. Anyway, I think there were.
No, I noticed that when we watched it. I don't think Raquel and Kayla did the glove crinkle, which I know they weren't going to, like, they told us that was a fail and we didn't do the glove. Who knows how this whole thing works?
Who knows? Anyway, because I was watching, I'm like, did everybody figure that out? So it took us 6 tries. I think it took them 8 or 9.
Right. And we also, we made up time not only because it was 6 tries, but we went very shortly in between each one. We were of the belief that we had all the information in our head of what we needed. Like, we didn't need to get too many demonstrations. We just needed to get it right. And so the only way to get it right was practice.
We kept rolling through it. So you see us, we get out at the same time and we see Raquel and Kayla. And I was like, holy crap, we're still in this. And you see us asking directions. So they're leaving. They already got directions. And then you see us ask for directions from the same guy. His phone died. So we got this question on Twitter.
Just to be clear, he told us where to go. We had directions on the clue. So he told us the exact same thing that they told Raquel and Kayla, but they did have a map to look at on how to get there. So we wanted not only for him to tell us, but to look at the map as well. So we walked up to look at the map. And as we did it, Raquel and Kayla are pulling out, the guy's phone dies. We're not super confident in what he's telling us.
Yeah, because he's like, just go to 110 to this. And I'm like, I don't know how. And on the bottom of the clue, it even said, like, take the 110 to this exit or whatever. But I was like, I don't know how to get to the 110.
Was the 110.
And I don't know how to get there. And just telling a guy on this leg of the race for him to just say, take left and just follow the signs. I'm like, I need to know how far we're going. So we chose, we're like, let's take the extra 4 minutes and get good directions. So we ran across the street and we got extra directions, which is why you see us show up to the final thing. Like 7 or 8 minutes later.
We were about 10 minutes later, according to Raquel and Kaylee. You never know how this works, but half of it was stopping and asking for directions.
5 or 6 minutes there.
The other half of it, and we'll just say everyone hit traffic, and I think we all had the same slowdown there. It was like an hour sitting in traffic. Imagine being this close to $1 million and everything just stops on the road. And, you know, you're looking around like, is there a detour? I mean, I wish I had my Waze and it could show me kind of which way to go. And then when we got there, there was like a northwest, southwest entrance, whatever it was. And I think if we had just gone straight, we would have gotten there in maybe a minute. But instead, we drove all the way around. It wasn't a terrible detour, but I bet it was 5 minutes added on to find the parking. So 5 minutes of asking for directions.
And then 5 minutes
to plus find- 5 minutes finding parking that wasn't in the right spot equals 10 minutes behind. And what you will see was a potentially pretty quick challenge. That could have been our race. That could have been the end for us.
Yeah. And so we run up and we put our backpacks down and we hear fault. So they were already guessing.
Right. We'll make sure they know what the challenge
okay,
was.
Okay. So the final memory challenge, we were on a tennis court and they had partitions up. We knew Raquel and Kayla were there because we can hear fault, but we couldn't see them. And there are little clues on the wall, like you took this the rest of the way, you ate this. And on the surface, you look at that, you're like, oh, that seems pretty easy. Here's where it got complicated. For every answer, like he greeted you at the pit stop or whatever, there would be four things that were slightly off.
Very slightly.
So the Dolmades was something like you made 60 of these was, I think, it just said 60 or you made 60 of these. Or something like that. But the picture of the woman, the Dolmades. And so that's something only I saw. The issue was there were about four pictures of her and the plate was slightly off. So the Dolmades would be this direction as opposed to line up this way. So they had them stacked. So if you just threw it up in a panic, you wouldn't realize that they were lined up this way. You hear me saying, like, we got this. Here's why.
This is the part I'm most excited about of any of the podcasts that we have done, because we are premiering these in their entirety. Can I go through all these? No,
can I do it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I had a big notebook and, you know, if you're watching this race, you watch this race, you know that there's traditionally, I think the best finales have a great memory, you know, a task at the end. We were kind of looking for what it was. We thought maybe there'd be numbers because we had to go up 8,000 feet. We had to make 60 of these. But at the pit stop, and it wasn't even necessarily aired. I think there was some extra clips. And he didn't make a big deal about it. But my friend Phil would be like, isn't this a beautiful view? Take a look at that view. And so I was like, he wants us to look at something, but he also probably wants us to look away from something. So I was like, and when we were in Lugano, is when I was like, he's asking us to look somewhere. So I'm like, it's going to be the images. So I went back through our race and I went through all my notes and I started drawing like this in Trafalgar. I'm a terrible artist.
You keep saying it's bad.
But the bowler
hat. It's not a bad drawing.
No, honey, just kind of. And then I would write notes on the back of it. And eventually, as we got closer to this leg, we ripped them out. And in our hotel room, because there's nothing to do, I would place them or he would place them in out of order, and we would try to line them up in order. This was, you know, these were the little goat medallions that were on the
guys
in St. Gallen, Alstaten. Yeah. His little medallions had goats on them. This was, you know, the little hat he wore. This was the view from in Lugano. There was like a fountain. I was like, okay, if we spot a fountain, that's it.
We all know what that is.
Oh my God, that's bungee jumping.
I feel
jumping.
Like you should show a picture of the stick figure of you.
This is, you know, just silly things. So this is the greeter in Corsica. I was like, he was wearing a hat. It was like that. So again, I drew the towers. I have to find the Napoleon one. Sorry, guys. Oh, this like down to the hat. I'm like, this is what Napoleon's hat looked like. It had two little things. So we would sit there and study pictures. Mm-hmm. So if you see, we were really, really confident going in. I was like, I was so confident. The only thing I didn't know was that damn coin. It was a low point in my life.
Yeah, we had a couple of things that we weren't 100% sure on. The truck that they put that got us up on Corsica was not exactly the same as the one that we took, but it was the same color, and we figured that was what they were looking for. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
It was not the color, but the make.
Yeah, so we took a blue. It said takes you the mm-hmm. rest of the way there. We had a blue, topless Jeep, and they didn't. The only blue Jeep they had in there was a traditional Jeep. So that's why we got, like, that was a little, we were a little hung up on that.
There's maybe 80, 90 pages here. And some of them have numbers and some of them have pictures. I thought that they were actually very good depictions. Like, I don't need a Van Gogh, but she really focused on what she thought were the important accents. And that's really all that matters. Like, that was the hat that she knew that the guy in the phone booth was wearing. And I mean, specifically for Napoleon, they had four different hats, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just all of these things, they were detailed in just the right place. They didn't have to be perfect, but the way that your brain was working, you remembered certain things, and it was freaky how much they lined up. Like, when we looked at the guy at the pit stop that greeted us, there was some details, whether it was a hat or maybe the lining on his shirt, can't remember what it was, that we looked at, and I'm like, holy crap, Kim drew that on one of these pieces of paper.
I think, and so, so I think that, and our first guess was one off, because the only thing I didn't look at, I got the coin, and the first, I turned the coin over when I got the rock, and I immediately showed it to Dusty and Arun,
right.
And then I was like, get me the F out of here. So I didn't study that.
Well, isn't it funny that nobody got the coin right? If you look at all, like, Dusty, yeah. And you look at you, and you look at Raquel, everyone struggled with the coin. That was the great equalizer when it came down to this race. But then, so here's what I was doing while you were doing this. Kim had done everything she could and more to prepare us and to give us a crazy amount of confidence for the majority of these. But as I've been saying since the first podcast, The Amazing Race is the world's biggest math problem. Mm-hmm. You saw the way that the Beekman boys won, right? They turned that final challenge into a math problem. We did that. So what we did was we took our 100% and we put them up there, right? Mm-hmm. The things that we were 100% sure about. We were 100% sure about all but three. And here's why. The boat, we knew kind of what it looked like, but you weren't 100% sure what the name was because it was a Portuguese spelling of
it. So I knew it was a red and blue boat because I have a drawing of a red and blue boat, but I'm like, maybe they're looking for the name. And so that is why. So we put the boat up right the first time, but I was like, oh, but maybe they're looking for the name and not the color of the boat.
But we were down to two boats. Right. So we were 50-50 on that boat. So we're doing permutations here, right? This is going to be fun. We were down to 50% permutations on the truck. They weren't going to tell us which one was right. One of them looked more like it, and one of them was the right color. So we had to do both of those. So we did. We went through all of the permutations of those while also flipping out the coin, and the coin was down to four, right? So without knowing what was right, we basically stuck with, for a few minutes, the boat that we were like 60% sure about and the truck we were 70% sure about. And we let it ride with those. And then we scaled through all four coins.
Yeah.
And that's how we did it.
And it was one of those things where there was season 31, the season finale, when Christy and Jen, I was pulling for them as a female team, and she was stuck on this puzzle task. And I heard her say at one time that she had it really closely in the beginning, but the clue said like it had to fit in perfectly. And there was one of the wings didn't fit in the way they accepted the answer. The wing fit in kind of wonky. I'm really unsure about that. But so that Jeep was throwing me off because ours was blue and they didn't have a blue Jeep that looked like that in the final clue. And so that's what I'm like, well, if that's right, then this boat could. That's why I was so sure of everything going in. And on the surface, it looks like an easy memory challenge. But as you saw with Raquel and Kayla, the more you start messing with it, the worse it gets. So I have to say, we have to watch it back. I think it took us like 6 or 7 faults.
Who knows? It could have been 15 because it was so quick. You could always say check, fault, check, fault, check, fault. I mean, if you look through the total number of permutations for 11 of those things with 3 or 4 possibilities for each one, the possibilities are in the millions, maybe even in the billions. So you've got to have some knowledge to figure it out. We could have done as many as we wanted.
And then we got it when it comes down to it. I think they told us at the end it was like 7 minutes or something like that.
It was fast. That was the longest 7 minutes of my life.
Because we knew this is it. I'm like, we are, they had us, they were saying a clue like park your car, take your bag. So I'm like, the finish line is here.
Yeah.
The finish line is here and we're running to it. And I was a little sad as a super fan. We didn't get the go, go, go clue because there's always like a, It's always like a go, go, go. So I wanted like the go, go, go.
I hear you, but I love the way they did it. First of all, I love tennis. It's like, it's my favorite sport. I'm wearing a pickleball shirt right now, which is almost tennis.
Tennis adjacent.
But like you go from getting the challenge right
to
the finish line. It's so, like right there. Wasn't that cool?
I think so. It is mind-boggling to know that we, on the first try, almost, like if we just switched out the coin, we would have had it faster. But whatever, we could overthink this to death. So she says, game, set, match, run through the tunnel. And all of a sudden, both of our voices got really high.
Yeah. So I want you guys to Google Howard Dean, who was a politician, for those kids out there who don't remember it, who was a front runner for the Democratic nomination. And he gave a speech, and for some reason, his Q rating like dropped and his ratings dropped after a very shrill, and that was me. I was Howard Dean coming through the tunnel.
So we grab our bags and you hear me say, like, did we just win the amazing race?
I remember you saying that.
And I was looking at him. I'm like, we're about to win the amazing race. And it's something like, as a fan of the show, you imagine what that feels like. And then to know it's about to happen is crazy. And then you see people like this. And I'm like, oh, they weren't happy. But then they shot it before.
I want to go back because we actually said at the beginning of the Portugal, we've been joking about this. Like, we don't ever want to be the people clapping because they never look. They're always like, oh, yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. But they're like, you're like, oh, they're dying inside. They want to win this thing. And they showed Michael and Mo and Runa Natalia, and it was the same thing. It was like this. But like, we saw them.
No, and then you see when we were running up, they were very happy.
And here's we've got this video. So take a look. We're just going to do a little bit of editing. I want you to see Michael and Mo and Runa Natalia. Natalia, they just look like someone's asking them to smile right now. But then look at the overhead shot when we jump on the mat and everyone's like jumping up and down and really excited. Like they were legitimately so pumped for us. And that got me emotional, like to see those guys again.
I know. And I think I think we got up there. It was, I just remember looking at him like, did we just do this? And then you hear Phil say those words like, you're the official winners of the amazing race. And I was waiting, because that damn truck clue. Because I was like, well, that, I don't think we did it right, because that's not the – so I was like, I'm waiting for you to tell me I did it wrong. Like, are you sure? That's why I was like, are you sure
we're
right?
Did we win this?
Did we actually win this? And then – or I was waiting for them to say, like, no, you the Foley thing, you the rubber glove thing, you did wrong. Like, I was waiting for them to find something that we did wrong. And say, like, no, you actually didn't win this. And so we were so happy. But then instantly, I got very sad. Because I know that I wanted to win this. I wanted to win this for my family and as a fan. But I also, as a fan, I knew sitting on my couch, like, I would want the girls to win. And I know that they were literally right there. And so I had grown to love them so much, and I wanted to win, but I didn't want them to lose. And so it was hard for me to process that in the moment of like, yes, I'm very happy, but I'm also like really heartbroken for, and Dusty and Ryan too. Like they'd been through so much too.
Don't you think it's almost easier, or was easier in that moment, to finish a more like, I don't want to say a distant third, but to finish third than to finish second? Like you could almost tell the difference between those two teams, and like finishing second's really, really hard, especially if you were as close as Raquel and Kayla were. And Dusty and Ryan, you know, you saw Dusty threw the
backpack. He threw his backpack.
Dusty threw, I've never seen anyone throw a backpack that far. He could be an Olympic backpack thrower. I mean, he's always been very positive and energetic, but I'm with you. Like, I thought a little bit about that. The whole thing was so hard to process, but we were able to enjoy that moment on the mat with all of these people who we'd made like lifelong friends with. We were able to like kind of bring it in and shake hands not only with the cast but also all of the members of production who had gotten us like through this whole thing. And then we really had to, like, you and I had a moment in the airport where we were just kind of like, hey, we won this, it's great. And then we kind of have to go into hiding. Mm-hmm. And not show any of your emotion or any of your excitement for several months until right now.
And so they gave us, and it was probably 6 o'clock by the time, 5, 6 o'clock by the time everybody's there wrapped up. And they gave us the option to stay the night and fly out first thing in the morning or take the red eye. And I kind of wish we'd stay the night to like go celebrate with everybody, but I was so desperate to see my kids. We went straight from the finish line to the airport and in the same clothes, and we took the red eye. And we got home by 6 a.m. and we took our kids to school because they both had tests that day. I was going to keep them home from school, but they both had tests that day. But we were sitting in the airport, like literally from the finish line. They put us in a van, take us to the airport. We're in the same clothes.
Yeah.
And we're in the airport bar. First of all, you know, just being able to navigate by yourself through an airport for after 24 days of not. And we got a glass of wine. I'm like, we just went. Can't say anything.
I know.
It was the weirdest.
Glass
weirdest
of wine
thing.
Was really good, by
oh
the way.
Oh my gosh, it went down real good. and I think that we're going to keep this version of the podcast going for a little bit because we want to talk to Raquel and Kayla and Dusty and Ryan, and even we haven't talked to Lulu and Lala yet. Maybe like Phil, the producers, like we'd love to, you know, do some more of this content. Like it's very flattering that people want to interview us, and everybody's asking, like, what are you going to do with $1 million? $1 million is life changing. Uncle Sam gets the biggest chunk of it. We are, you heard us say, we're going to save our kids' college. And that's where it's like a generational change because
they can go to school without debt.
They can go to school without debt.
Yeah.
And I went to a state school, in-state school, but I had two jobs in college and my parents helped me with what they could. But it was a struggle to go through college like that. And the fact that they're going to have a choice, because I didn't have a choice of where I could go based on money. The fact that they're going to have a choice of where they could go, that's going to affect our family for generations. So that is not lost on me. Plus, we do have plans to share about 30% of this, of what we take, of 30% of this we've decided to share. And so we are going to talk about that. So our life isn't going to look any different. We're not buying a new car. We're going to get my car fixed. It has a big dent in the door.
I backed into you've had some anxiety issues like this last week, just trying to like, I mean, this is a secret that you have to keep in, and it's a wonderful secret, you know, right? But just the kind of the time building up to it and the number of people who are asking you, and like, I'm not the kind of person who likes to lie to people or keep secrets. This has been a lot for me. And I like my ADHD has really reared its ugly head the last couple of weeks. And this has been tough for me. I left a suitcase at the airport.
At an airport.
Just at an airport. And then I flew to another state.
Without a suitcase.
I got off of the plane and I flew the entire time, got off the plane, was looking for my stuff. And I was like, oh, it never got on the plane on the way out. And then I backed into Kim's car in the driveway. It was right next to me at about 1/10 of a mile an hour. And left a dent in it. So this is like, I'm just going to say, like, this part has been tough for me. I like that moment in LA. I'm so glad that we could share it. And it was so great when it happened. But the real relief, our kids got to find out. And if you haven't seen the video already, let's put it back up right now. We were at this nightclub watching it on a very large screen. And this is our kids finding out. And just quick spoiler alert, Kim and I had to go back to our room to watch the end of the race because we weren't looking at the camera. We just wanted to see what our kids did. So if you look at this video, we were just looking at them and their reaction was priceless. We'll have it forever. And we're just so happy that we could share that with them.
I just can't tell you enough what it meant for these last 2 days to be here, to be with these people that I consider lifelong friends. And like, when would I ever meet radio DJs from New York? Like, when would I ever meet a principal from New Jersey?
A guy who went to prison. How would
my circle of my sphere of life ever intersect with somebody like
Arun
who
runs a Dunkin' Donuts in Detroit. 8 Mile. Yeah.
Yeah. So the fact that, I'm going to try not to get emotional. These people, they threw us together and we started a pandemic together, and it took 2 years of our lives to do this. I'm thrilled and honored at the result, but it was an absolute privilege to be a part of this. And I feel very honored to be a part of this community, this Amazing Race family. And I can't say enough about the producers behind the scenes and what they did. It is the Herculean effort to put on a race during a pandemic. I wish they would allow a behind the scenes documentary, because for a lot of the ways it made it really hard to be a racer this season, there was a lot of things that made it a lot harder than our first three legs. But I think producing it, I couldn't even imagine. So there were some funny tweets. Should we share some of those?
Sure.
Our friend Anne-Marie found these for us. Amazon, was that swine?
Someone.
Yeah. Someone says, I still think their YouTube videos are kind of disturbing, but they definitely deserved it. Thank you.
Thank you.
And then Gregory Allen said, we love mom and dad. So it was Raquel, because they were like, we should have told them to not give them directions. And they're like, but you could see they battled. Like, they still wanted us to do well. They're like, oh, we love mom and dad. Like, they called us mom and dad.
Everyone did. We were kind of the older couple.
Somebody said, oof, how come the team I went to win the Amazing Race never does? Penn and his wife are so insufferable. But then somebody says, quote, Penn and his wife tells me everything I need to know about you. Yeah, like, learn my name before you insult me. Ari says, Kim and Penn remind me of Phil and Claire Dunphy. Oh. It's a compliment, and so it's so true.
That is a huge compliment. I like for both, right? And it's funny, we watched that show when it first came out, and we looked at each other and we're like, are we a little bit like these people in our dynamic? I don't know that we were as successful or as like impressive as they were, or as funny as they were, but that we definitely have a similar dynamic.
Yeah.
I just want to say, like, you were the best partner anybody could ask for.
You were the best partner.
I loved being with you. I know you were just mentioning all these people on the race that you got to connect with, and they're great, right? But like, the connection that I was able to have with you when we threw away our cell phones, like, I'm sitting here thinking about, by the way, but I'm sitting here thinking about the fact that it's over and we crossed the finish line, and I just started like pit sweating like a mother. So that's why I've been like, look at this. This is me.
Why?
This just because like taking me back into those like last bits of the race. And I get nervous every time I think about that final challenge. But you were so like, other than being a great partner and just like in the moments in between the race, like us being able to connect and not care about anything but having each other's back was such a gift in our relationship that we may never have again until we get our kids off to college and can like reconnect with each other. This was like such a little oasis where we were able to have that moment. And then as a teammate, just all that you did to prepare us for that last moment. I mean, I was talking about how the race, and I still believe the race is a math problem, but you got our probabilities down to such a limited amount because of all the preparation you did with drawing those things. And every night, I know you said that you do this to help kind of soothe your anxiety. You write things down, but I also think that you studied so hard for the race and you knew to look for these little things for the final challenge. When you said, oh, I noticed that Phil is looking around at things, and that made you think it was a visual challenge. Like, that was all from your studying and commitment that you gave to this race. So as a partner, I could just kind of be myself because you took care of literally everything else.
You're very kind and generous, but there was not another person that I could have done this race with. I am fascinated by the parent-child dynamic, even as a friend. There's nobody that you quite literally had to talk me off of a ledge at the beginning of this. I mean, I was never going to hurt myself, you guys. It was all about getting air. Like, I needed more air, and I am just so thankful I had you. You're the best partner.
I really was. No, I'm joking. No, there were times that I wasn't. I think so. I want to talk to other people who have been to where we've been, whether it's final three or made it to the finish line. And I want to ask them, like, no one ever was perfect on this race. Yeah. But what you could be was a perfect team. You could be perfect to each other if you tried really hard. You could really put that other person first and have their back every single step of the way. And I think that the last three on our race were all pretty darn close to being perfect for each other. Mm-hmm. But I think we may have been the most perfect for each other when it came to like the finish line. It's a relationship show. It's not a race. It's a relationship show.
Mm-hmm. What if they mixed Love is Blind? I mean, they've done Blind Date Season.
You want to mix something? Oh, we want to play this game. Okay.
No. We need to get this edited and posted.
Oh God, yeah.
What so is
it? We slept in.
We slept in.
We don't normally sleep in.
So we love you. Thank you so much for following our journey. I'm sure you have a lot of questions, or maybe you don't. Maybe you're sick of us talking about it, but. Thank you. We're so flattered with all your messages. And I haven't even called people my family back yet. So please, I'm trying to go through our messages.
Our phones kind of melted.
Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you. And as she said, this may not be the last of these. We're hoping it's not. We may stretch this out a few more weeks just to answer questions and bring on some other like unique people who are part of the experience.
And we get asked this all the time. Would you do it again if they did a winter season? You know, I would go back on The Amazing Race as a producer. My anxiety cannot take being a racer again.
Oh, God. You're so good at it, though. I would go back for anything. I would go back to produce. I would love to edit. Like, I want to do my own edit cut of Scotland. Because Scotland was, they didn't have time, right? Because of all that they had to tell about COVID. I would love to be a part of the post-production of the race. You'd love to be a part of the production.
Thank you, guys. Bye. Love you, bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.